Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Matt Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Matt Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D Factor. The Matt Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Matt.
Let's do a live radio broadcast. Power Hour, broadcasting from beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona, on a late summery afternoon, 103 degrees, our last dose of summer perhaps. Here it is, September 29th, heading into October. It's 103 degrees today. I love it. Whoa. Glad you tuned in, gang. You're gonna love it, so strap yourselves in. Make sure your tray tables are forward and secured tightly. We're gonna have a bumpy flight today. The Magic Man is in the house. What's up, Zach Geis?
Glad to be back, Mac. Great show last week, and
ooh,
decided to pick up.
Ooh-wee, we were gonna pick up right where we left off.
Weather is still a little warm in the day, but the nights are getting real nice here.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm not complaining about the daytime, you know, because by the time it gets to be mid-January, we'll be crying for a day like today. I know I will. The fabulous, the lovely, the sweet-smelling Natasha is in the house. What's up, baby?
Hello, Matt.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Everybody, say hi to Natasha. On the count of three, say hi. One, two, three. Yay.
Well, thank you.
How you feeling, darling?
I feel wonderful.
Are you enjoying the weather?
I am. I love it.
It looks good outside, doesn't it?
Yes, it doesn't feel hot at all.
Aren't we lucky to live in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona? In the valley, every direction you look, you're going to see mountains in the distance, you know. And just it just feels... And you know what? Another thing about our city, aside from Toronto, Canada, this is the cleanest city I've ever been in. Now, we've got some parts of it that aren't as well kept up, but I want to tell you something. Phoenix is a clean city. Now, Toronto, I mean, they scrub the sidewalks at night. It's really clean. And I enjoyed being there, but I tell you, I can't complain about this place. It seems that everyone likes to complain about the city they live in. I'm not one to do that. I think that Phoenix, Arizona, more than makes up for the areas that people do complain about, and we can change those things, gang. And of course, A-Bomb, we call her A-Bomb, is in the house. What's up, baby?
Hey, how are you? How's everyone?
Yeah. And yes, gang, our musical guest host today, you figured it out already. The smooth one, revered for his pure, gentle tone of music, of his alto saxophone, the elegant, lyricism of his jazz improvisation. You check those words, lyricism. Didn't know I had that in my vernacular. Did you? Yes, I do. Yes, start that smooth one right from the top one more time. I want to get that smooth note. Yeah. The title of this song, Zach, is
Squeeze Me.
Yeah. That's a very nice tune. You know who does that? The singer, the pianist, Canadian singer.
A woman?
Yes.
Diana Krall?
You got it. Thank you very much, Natasha. Diana Krall does that. Squeeze Me. She does a beautiful job of it. Mr. Smooth does it here. Yes, the elegant one. He's best known for his years he spent with the Dave Brubeck Quartet. Yes, in fact, he was the lead soloist in the most commercially successful jazz combo ever, and maybe the most successful jazz song until George Benson came out with Breezin', and that was Take Five. Pinned and soloed on by the great Paul Desmond. You know, in an era that worshiped the frenetic style, bebop style of Charlie Parker and John Coltrane, when you listen to this smooth, elegant style of Paul Desmond, it's just a study in contrast. And I'll tell you something. Dave Brubeck said about him, to me, his style has never been equaled. As far as the logic and his the poetic style combined, because there's always a strand going back someplace in his melodies and his choruses that shows a great intellect combined with a great emotionalism. And you usually don't find those two things in one jazz performer, Dave Brubeck. Well, you know what? Unfortunately, Paul Desmond didn't stay with us that long. Born in 1924 in San Francisco, it was a staple of the cool jazz scene in that era. Working with the Dave Brubeck Quartet, they were very popular among the college crowd. And but his style, he called a dry martini. Well, you know, a little self-deprecating, but it was a sound that just made him a favorite with all the jazz critics around the world. And his fans, in fact, right now, 35 years after his death in the 1977, his records are still being played, still being bought, and he is still, and people are still playing his music because it moves people. We're going to let you experience the smooth sound of Paul Desmond today, our musical guest host right here on the Power Hour. Welcome to the show, gang. We've got a great show for you guys today lined up. In addition to Paul Desmond as our musical guest, our early segment, I want to talk about, you know, does it work to use negativity replying to negativity? All right. Our main topic, you know what? Several of the emails I got this week in referring to last week's show, they're saying, Mac, you know, you're always talking about, you know, don't be sorry, be better. But it's such a vague term, that be better. How does one get better? I'm going to give you a few steps and what you can do to get better. All right? It is now exactly 7 minutes past the hour. The hour of 5 o'clock, the bewitching hour as far as the power hour is concerned. And so many of you said the same thing. That last week's show was the cat's meow as far as the power hour is concerned. Zach felt the same way. Personally, I felt it was a great show. I had a lot of emotion invested in it. And but right now, that was last week's show. Right now, I'm focused on this week's show, and I think it's going to be best of all time. So you guys stay exactly where you are. In fact, if you got a moment, I'll give it to you to call a friend. Tell them it's time to tune in to the Power Hour. If you want to send me a message here to Power Hour, send it on my email to 7SEVEN at MacNewton.com. And you can also include with that a comment on the show or even a suggestion for something we should get down and dirty with later on the Power Hour. Thanks for tuning in. All right, gang, as I said, 7 minutes past the hour. Now, more like 9 minutes past the hour. Okay, and we're going to take a moment to give a few shout-outs to all of our loyal listeners to the Power Hour. All right, let's see if I got some of that queued up here. You know, we have a lot of listeners all around the world at this point in time, from Australia to Alaska, and from the Far East to Florida and everything in between. We've got new listeners in the UK, of course, VG out there in the Philippines, Kurt and his beautiful girlfriend in England. And, of course, all of our listeners, it seems like sometimes I get caught up in recognizing our foreign listeners. But you know what? We got a lot of listeners right here in the good old U.S. of A. Larry and Kimmy right here in the Valley in Phoenix, Arizona. I mean, regular listeners. You know, Dorothy Jacobs stopped by the house today to say, I'm still a loyal listener. Give me a shout-out once in a while. You got it. What up? DZ up in Michigan, staying in contact, working out. You got it, my man. Okay? And Chris and Nick. I got on Chris last week when I told him, don't send me any emails with OMG. Oh, my God. I gave him 600. He sent me an email yesterday and says, thank you, sir. 600 finished. Okay. Chris and Nick right here in the Valley. And, of course, you know, it's like he's like the chairman of the shout-outs, GA, down in GA, holding forth. Barry and all the Taekwondo folks up in Chicago. Nick, who sat in on Tuesday morning's lecture that we did via the Yumi. Boy, you better check out our upcoming newsletter. We're going to have all sorts of information about our online workouts and information on how you can take part in our workouts and lectures live. Okay? And you know what? It'll be free. This is kind of cool. There's technology available today where you can use the internet. Once you have the equipment, you can use the internet and not even have to pay long distance charges. Even if you are calling in from Taiwan or from Russia or from New Zealand, free on the internet. So we're going to be talking more about that because we want to get you guys involved even more. All the boys up in Denver, Gwen Hall, and all the Taekwondo people down in Texas, Alfredo in Mexico. Hey, Alfredo, did I ever tell you that the fabulous Natasha has a fabulous recipe for what she calls a taco omelet?
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I did come up with that idea.
Yes, you did. Andy out in Spain, what's happening to you? And Al down in South FLA. FLA. Florida. And Ryan Hodges working out with us online in Alaska. All our best to our furthest west listener. All right. There you go. Got him down. Did pretty smooth. You know what? That must be because Mr. Smooth is our musical guest host today. Mr. Smooth. You know, there's Michael Franks. I call him just a jazz singer. Michael Franks on an album called Barefoot on the Beach. Barefoot on the Beach. He's got a song called Mr. Smooth, dedicated to Paul Desmond, of course. All right, check it out. You will love it, I guarantee you. Guarantee you. All right, what do we got here now? All right, let's get right into our early segment. You know what I need you to do for me, A-Bomb? I'm gonna stall. It's kind of like what salesmen do when they can't figure out anything to say. They just start saying a whole bunch of words that mean nothing. So A-Bomb is going to run out on the training floor and get that printout from that looks just like that, okay? And bring it to me. And while you're doing that, I am going to stall. Okay. I'm really good at that. Talking about nothing, but hopefully making it sound like something. I think what we're going to do in our main topic. I told you I'd give you several steps. I think it's going to be 7 steps to getting better. You know, 7 steps to getting better, because it is a vague term. Don't you think? You know, Mac, you tell me, get better. How? How does one get better? What do we do exactly? Well, I think I'm going to start you in the right way. But first, let me deal with this question I asked you earlier. Is it appropriate to deal with negativity with more negativity? Does it work? Does it improve your position? Does it make you feel better about yourself? Is it effective in terms of dealing with negative people? Is that what you should do? I mean, a lot of people think it works that way, you know, to sort of stand up for themselves. And if someone's being negative towards you, be negative right back. Does it work? And what's the alternative? To be positive in the face of negativity? I mean, does that work? I mean, good grief. Doesn't it make you look weak? Doesn't it make you look that you are just asking to be taken advantage of? Well, I guess that's the question. Because people don't know what to do. Because, you know, when I really sit down and think about it, it almost seems natural to attack negativity with more negativity, doesn't it? I mean, you know, someone's coming at you with some negativity. In fact, I took that to an extreme the other day when, and it might have been even unfair on my part to do it this way, but I remembered when out in my parking lot, you can recognize it now, but because I've remodeled the whole thing. But there used to be a gas station, a little mini mart out in the center of my parking lot. I tore it down and, you know, kind of, you know, the building I'm in right now was part of the gas station. It was outdoors. So we've kind of made the whole thing look like, instead of a 40-year-old two buildings, a gas station and a huge, like, off-road center, kind of remodeled the whole thing. It looks like a brand new shopping center with Newton Fitness on one building and Newton Taekwondo on the other. And it's all tied together. So it looks very nice. But back in the day when there was a gas station out front, people would gas up all the time. It wasn't really a highly used gas station because it's in the middle of the block. Most of your most successful gas stations are on corners, as you know. So I was leaving the studio one night, and this young lady was gassing up her car. I recognized her right away because she'd actually done a story on me. She worked for a local news magazine, sort of a sports or a fitness magazine, I think it was, or I think it may have even been New Times, I'm not sure. So she's out there gassing up, and she noticed me and waved, and I walked over, and we chatted for a few moments. Now, another one of my clients, unbeknownst to me, also knew that person and was driving by at the same moment and noticed we were chatting. And so the next time back in my class, the lady says to me, "Oh, I saw you chatting with so-and-so out at the gas pump the other day. You know each other?" I said, "Well, just in passing, pretty much, professionally more than anything else." And then she proceeded to get very, very negative about this lady. "Oh, she's this and she's that and she doesn't like her and even hate me" have crossed her lips, "and she's this and that." And as I sat there and looked at her, I wondered how she would deal with a huge dose of positivity right now. So I said to her, "She only has really good things to say about you." It was like throwing 60 gallons of water on a lit match. It just doused it in an instant. And she just sort of looked at me and felt really bad about the things that she had said. And that's usually how developed people think after they've met negativity with negativity. They're going to get back home and say, "Why did I do that?"
People always want to say, "Fight fire with fire."
Why? They think, "Why did I do that?" Well, you know, just think about it. Fight fire with fire gives you what? A bigger fire. So if it's a bigger fire you're looking for, then go right on. Because when you attack negativity with negativity, that's exactly what you're doing. You're feeding the fire. You inflame, okay, the situation. Is that what you want to do? Or do you want to neutralize the situation? Do you want to tone it down? Okay. In order to do that, though, because you're in the moment, it takes thought control. It takes thought control, and it takes maturity. The maturity comes in where you have to see toning it down as a suitable outcome rather than get all emotionally caught up with your ego and the feeling that you've been attacked and now you have to prove that you are worthy and you won't allow yourself to be either talked to or dealt with that way. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? People can say, like even when you're in school, they say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Now, in most situations, that's absolutely right. Now, when you're talking about parents or teachers or siblings saying mean things to kids, those words can really hurt. But for us adults, and grown-up people, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Because I'm able to separate the wheat from the chaff. I'm able to separate the fact that people are trying to hurt me, and I will not allow words to hurt me. Not if I'm an adult. So, understanding that, that's why I say it takes thought control and maturity to be positive in the face of this negativity or in the face of this conflict in the moment. So if you can develop the courage and the confidence to stay calm and relax, you know what? This is what will happen. You'll find, like I have, that your thoughts alone, just your thoughts that you're having in that moment of courage and confidence, and that you're able to say in the tone that you want to and what exactly you want to say, you'll find that your thoughts, even more than what words you may eventually say, will change the situation before your very eyes. Thought energy. Thought power. Because it will affect your eyes, your body language, and everything about you, just the thoughts you have before even any words or gestures emerge. Yeah, you'll find that your thoughts alone can change the situation. Right in front of your eyes, it is an amazing thing to see. It is now getting exactly 20 minutes past the hour of 5. I'm broadcasting, and the Power Hour from beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona, and it is a beautiful, sunny 103-degree day, and that's my favorite temperature of all, gang. That is my favorite temperature of all. 103. You know why? It's nice and warm, but it's not overpowering. You don't get the feeling that you're being assaulted, that you walked into a furnace like 103, 112 does. But you know what? It is warm, and it just soothes over your skin like a Paul Desmond tune. It's smooth. Yeah. Yeah.
You like that word today, don't you?
Smooth. Mr. Smooth. Yeah. Yeah. Believe it or not, that courage and confidence that I was talking about, you know where it comes from? No, it doesn't come from a book. No, you can't mix it at breakfast and drink it with your Mac shake. No, you can't. It'd be nice if you could, but you can't. That courage, that confidence comes from the love that you have for yourself and the world around you together. It comes from love. I'm going to tell you something, gang. Love is one of the most, probably the most courageous emotion that exists to humankind. People will do things for love of country, love of a person, their spouse, their partner, their child, that you can't pay them enough money to do. That people will die for medals. For love of country. For love of country, men and women will go into battle. For love of city, for love, men and women ran up the stairs of the World Trade Center. During the last earthquake, for love, men and women ran up the stairs of the Washington Monument as it shook and pieces fell on the inside of it. Pieces were falling down, pieces of concrete and lights and fixtures were falling, and people were running to the top of that to make sure not one person was up there. love gives that kind of courage. Love for yourself and love for that's more even important into your mind than yourself. The love you have for you and the world around you creates that courage, commitment, and confidence. So, at the bottom of all of this now, I'm saying, I guess, is does it work? Meeting negativity with negativity. Fighting fire in that instance with fire. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work and it has never worked. Kind of like certain things, so there are lots of people in the world that are sitting around trying to talk in terms of, well, there are certain situations, Mac, in which it does work and it might be best suited. No, it doesn't, and no, there aren't. If you're talking or thinking about times when people have to stand up and fight, or if, like a young woman might be on the street and her purse is being snatched, or someone's trying to grab her baby, or someone comes in her Arcadia door and is trying to assault them. No, you are confusing apples and oranges. Those are entirely two different situations. Let's not pretend that we don't know the difference there. Attacking negativity with negativity has never and will never work. It appears for some of us that it's an easier approach to take than developing ourselves to a point where we have an alternative approach. You see, the one of the most dangerous things in the world, gang, is a person who only has one answer. For a great part of my life, I dealt with all kinds of things with one answer. In other words, if you're walking through life and you see yourself, your answer to almost everything is with a hammer. Everything you see looks like a nail. Well, there may be a few things where that hammer is appropriate, but you may need a nail puller. You may need a screwdriver. You may need a sander. You may need other tools. You won't get by with just one. And for those of you who have a lifetime of experience of confronting negativity with more negativity, you will fight for your right to do that. And create all sorts of idiotic ways in which you can imagine it may work, when all of your experience says loud and clear that it does not. That how many times you've walked away and said, well, did that work for you? No, it didn't. How many times have we walked away from circumstances? Boy, I wish I hadn't said that. Zach, you understand what I'm saying here, huh?
Loud and clear, sir.
Loud and clear. How many times have us developed individuals who care about more than just ourselves, and we care about the feelings of others, and we say, gee, I wish I didn't say that. Just because they said that, or someone else said they said that. Wow, have we been pulled into that trap before? Yep, as I said, it almost seems natural. It almost seems a thing to do. But as natural as it seems, we are left with this thought at the end of the day, if that's our tactic. Wow, how did something that ended up so wrong seem so right when I did it? Because of the emotion we have tied up in it. Because of the crackling emotion that's like an electric current. It seemed so right, but it ended up so wrong. It is now exactly 28 minutes past the hour, and I hope it's as beautiful where you are. And I know for all you guys in Spain and Ecuador and South FLA and Alaska. Oh, what a beautiful country it is up in Alaska. Come on, man. Alaska is one of the most beautiful countries in the world. I mean, in the states in America. I mean, it's just an amazing country. place if you've ever taken like an ocean cruise and see the glaciers and the mountains. And it truly is, as far as America is concerned, one of the last frontiers. We're listening again to the beautiful music of Paul Desmond, who was born actually Paul Emil Breitenfeld in San Francisco in 1924. And as so many of the musicians we feature here on the Power Hour, his father was an organist who played in movie theaters and for silent films and for the burlesque entertainers. Did you know they had live music in those, Zach? Did you ever see that?
I feel like I remember you telling us on a past show about how you played in the silent theater.
Exactly. So, anyway, his early instrument was a violin, but his dad didn't like him playing that, so he switched over to the clarinet. And frequently during his career, he would play a clarinet, especially sitting in with friends. But he played primarily an alto saxophone, and he does it like very few others. Our musical guest host today, the late, great Paul Desmond. I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. The Magic Man is sitting right there behind the glass making everything work. The fabulous Natasha with pen at ready and notepad worded, waiting for our main topic to come on. She is sitting in. Oh, the room just smells so good when she walks in. And, of course, A-Bomb making notes as we speak. You guys stay right where you are. I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. We'll be right back.
Everyone, this is Zach Geist, also known as the Magic Man. The Power Hour is brought to you by Newton Fitness Online, the same high conditioning and training that Mac Newton provides in his beautiful Central Phoenix, Arizona location is now available to you online, 24 hours a day. It couldn't be easier. Just log on to MacNewton.com and go to Mac's gym. Yep, his gym is online now. Just go and select your fitness level and go to class. Okay, don't put it off. Go to MacNewton.com now, check it out, and get in the best shape of your life.
Hey gang, I'm Mac Newton. I want to give you a little bit of an update on what's going on with our championship level goal setting program. It is taking off like a rocket ship. Now, I realize I don't have a place online where you can order it. However, you can call my office and speak to Lisa, 602-957-6492, and you can reserve your copy of championship level goal setting, which will give you a 2-CD program along with a workbook. The CDs will guide you through the voice with you and members of your team, either in your office or in family, through the entire championship level goal setting program. It is amazing. As a matter of fact, pretty soon, Blair and I will be embarking on a tour where we're going to be demonstrating this live and in person. So if you see us coming to your area, be sure and jump on board. The championship level goal setting program is now available. We've been talking about it online. You've been hearing about it on Facebook. Now is your chance to get your copy, all right? So call 602-957-6492 and reserve yours right now. Temporarily, copies are limited, so jump in and make sure you are not left behind. Thank you. bet you didn't see that coming, did you?
That's quite a surprise. I've never heard the jazz version of this song.
Hey, gang, welcome back. I'm Mac Newton. Yes, Paul Desmond with the theme from MASH, the Mobile Army Surgical Hospital TV show that was so popular for well over a decade back in the 70s. Suicide is painless. Actually, I don't know if that's true or not, and I have no intentions of finding out, even though the fabulous Natasha has her own opinions about that.
Well, I have an opinion about everything, you know that.
Wow, I tell you, you know what? I just really love listening to Paul Desmond's music. I'm a big fan of Dave Brubeck as well, but you know what? The whole collaboration between Dave Brubeck and Paul Desmond, sometimes from the outside, it looked like it was almost, they were oil and water, because Dave Brubeck was sort of a heavy-handed piano player and really sort of a driving force, while at the same time, you found that Paul Desmond was almost exactly the opposite. Well, there you have it, the yin and the yang all working together right there. Because Desmond's melodic solos were in marked contrast to those almost dynamic, their monosyllabic rhythms of Dave Brubeck. But somehow they click, and they seem to push each other to greatness. So, the Dave Brubeck Quartet was formed in 1951, and they just never looked back. They were just really tremendous. You know, when you compare, and I don't like to compare jazz musicians. I like to enjoy their unique differences. But to me, Paul Desmond represents a style of smoothness and a style of almost where he sings a song with his horn. You can hear the words, and suicide is painful. Welcome back to the Power Hour, gang, and I'm Mac Newton, the magic man behind the glass, of course, the fabulous Natasha and A-Bomb sitting in, and of course, our musical guest host, the fabulous Paul Desmond on alto saxophone. Perfect. There you have it. I guess now you guys are ready for the second half of our show. Seeing it right now, it is exactly 32 minutes past the hour, and we're ready to get into the seven lessons I have for you on how you can get better. You might say, I'm going to call them seven lessons on how to live in today's trying times. Okay? Seven lessons on how you can live, you know, in the face of smartphones and constantly being in contact and YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and all the other itters. So I've never received a tweet, never done one yet, but I know they're out there flying around me somewhere. I'm sure people are trying to text me right now, but my phone doesn't even receive text. People say, did you get my text? What? What? My phone doesn't even receive a text. I have five lines in here and two at home. So if you can't reach me in those places, you don't want to talk to me. Okay, you don't need to talk to me. Oh, thanks for tuning in, gang. All right, let's get down to business. Several of the emails I received this week had the same basic theme. Mac, you're talking about don't be sorry, be better, but how does one be better? How does one get better? Oh, I think I'll deal with that. I think I will. Because it is. Just saying get better is sort of vague. I need to give you some points to start with. In the martial arts, for years, my whole life was defined by the way that I kicked and punched. And I got better by kicking and punching better. By doing my patterns better. By kicking the bag more effectively, with better balance. I got better by getting physically better all the time. That's the way I looked at it. But as time went on, even though all of my techniques got better, I didn't necessarily get better as a martial artist. You've seen tennis players. develop better serves, better ground strokes, but yet not rise in the rankings. You've seen baseball players become better throwers and hitters and fielders, but yet and still not more effective as a baseball player. You've seen parents study and take classes and learn all the techniques of child rearing, and yet and still not be very good at it. So how do you get better? And I realized then that even though I was spending all this time on techniques trying to get better, I did get better with the physical techniques, but I wasn't getting better. So here's number one. Your life only gets better when you as a person get better from the inside to the outside. Okay? You can't just get better by making all your techniques better. When you get better on the inside, here, you got to understand, your outer world, gang, will always reflect your inner world. In other words, there is sort of a mental equivalent. There is a mental equivalent to everything going on the outside, inside of you. So if your life is chaotic on the outside, there is a mental equivalent of that chaos on the inside. Is your life is fearful and doubtful and non-specific on the outside, you have a mental equivalent of that going on the inside. And no matter what techniques you use on the outside, until you get better on the inside, it's not going to change. Your life only gets better when you get better. So this is number one. We have to accept the philosophy of getting better, but where getting better comes from is getting better from the inside to the outside, not from the outside to the inside. We got to understand that from Jump Street. If you want to improve the quality of your outer world, you must work on yourself from the inside out. And here's the good news, gang. Because there's no limit on how much better you can get, there's no limit on how much better you can make your life. So here it is now, and I first discovered this fact when I realized in order to make my life better, I had to get better on the inside. That was 1988. That was what, 23 years ago was my math. 23 years ago, something like that. 23, 24 years ago. We'll say 23. Okay, here we go. Move to 2011. I'm 23 years older. And I'm better in every way. Yes, I'm physically better 23 years later than I was in 1988. Even though some of the parts of me are actually failing. Some of my mechanical parts are failing. I'm still better now than I was. Why? Because I've made myself better from the inside out. How can that be? How can that be? So people are wasting so much time and feeling so much frustration and spending so much time trying to get better physically and trying to do this faster and stronger, and yet nothing seems to change. You know what I'm talking about here? Huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know. You could probably give me an example or two, could you? You know what I'm talking about, Zach? Huh? I think...
Yeah, I mean, the world's trying to move faster and faster, but at the same time, it almost causes new problems that you wouldn't even have had in the first place.
Yes, sometimes we even seem like we're taking backward steps. Wow. Okay, that's number one. If we buy into your life only gets better when you get better from the inside out. Understand the fact of the mental equivalent. Okay, number two. It doesn't matter where you're going. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. Got transposed there. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. It doesn't matter where you've been. All that really matters is where you're going. People really get hung up on past failures and mistakes. I mean, some people get hung up on them so much so that they even define their goal setting by that. You know what? I can't even set goals in that area before because I failed there before. So that means that all the areas that we failed at in the past have invalidated themselves as possible gold areas for our future, even if we may want them. So we're arguing for our limitations, big time. Doesn't matter where you've been. All that really matters is where you want to go. Check this out, gang. You cannot allow yourself to be slowed down or held back by events that happened in your past. By things you failed at or areas where you came up short. Learn from them. Let them set them free. One of your goals has to be for you to resolve to keep yourself focused on the future and where you're going. Last week I mentioned that one of the characteristics of successful people is that they are optimistic and also future-oriented. They're always thinking about where they're going. They're never limited by what happened in the past. They learn from it, set it free. Whereas unsuccessful people are always preoccupied with what things in their lives did not work. Why should I try to do that again? I already tried it. It didn't work. I already failed at that. Because your future is only limited by your imagination. There are no limits to what you can achieve using these methods. Okay, number one was what? Matashi, give it to me. Number one was?
Your life only will get better when you get better from inside out.
From the inside out. That's a fact. Okay. Number two, what was that, A-bomb? Number two.
Doesn't matter where you've been, it matters where you're going.
Doesn't matter where you're coming from. Doesn't matter about the areas that you failed in. Doesn't matter where you didn't measure up. It matters where you want to go. That's all that matters. And since your future is only limited by your imagination, that means there are no real limits to what you can achieve. Number three, let's move ahead. It is now exactly 20 minutes before the hour. This is the Power Hour, gang. We do this every Thursday right here from beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona. Our studio on Indian School Road. I can look out and see the sky. I can't see the mountains, but I bet you if I opened the blinds, I could see them, you know? Boy, it's great living in Phoenix. Hope you can say the same thing about the city you're in, too. Number three. Anything worth doing well is worth doing poorly at first. Yeah. Anything worth doing well is worth doing bad in the outset. Everything is hard before it's easy. There are some people I know that says, you know what, if I'm going to put 3 weeks of hard work in it, I better see a lot of results. I want to tell you something, gang. I want to tell you something. If it's worth doing well, you're not going to do it well at first. If it's a valuable goal, if it's your goal, you're going to have to buy into the fact that you're going to do it poorly in the outset. Here I am, I stand now as an 8th degree senior master in Taekwondo. And I did a demonstration in my class not that long ago where I called up a professional baseball player, very strong, very young, very muscular. And I put my hand on his arm and I pushed. He felt nothing. He feels anything there? He goes, nope. I moved my hand exactly about an eighth of an inch, and I touched it again. Just touched it. And he went, oh. I said, go ahead and find it on yourselves. You just saw me do it. Go ahead and find it. No one could. No one could find it. After you've done that, under proper leadership and instruction for about maybe 5 years, you'll be able to find it once in a while. But for me, it's easy. Because I've done it thousands of times. Hundreds of thousands of times. But when I first learned it, I did it lousy. Anything worth doing is worth doing poorly at the outset. Everything is hard before it's easy. And that's a primary reason why a lot of people never realize their full potential. It's because when they try something new and it doesn't work perfectly the first time, they quit and go right back to their old way of doing something. Well, I tried, it didn't work. If it's a valuable goal, you're going to have to stick with it for a long time before you get good at it, before you have achieved mastery. And only mastery is mastery. And if you can't get used to doing it poorly, you will never master it. So, we've got three done now. Understanding that your life is only going to get better when you get better. Knowing it's not about where you're coming from, it's about where you want to go. And everything that you're learning, you're going to have to be bad at it for a while, quite frankly, for a long while. It's not going to get better the first time or the second or maybe even the third. You know, one of the things about myself that I've learned about how I learn, even if I'm learning a new thing on guitar. Natasha can tell you because she sat and watched me play little things for hours. Have you not?
Oh, yes. I have this enjoyment.
Yes.
To listen to your guitar playing every night.
Yes. But sometimes you'll listen to me and you'll wonder, what is he doing? It's just one or two little notes over and over again. And I know how I learn. I learn it very slowly. Almost not at all. For the first day, or maybe the first week, or maybe even the first, and all of a sudden, there it is. And now once it's there with me, it's there for all time. And I know how to use it in so many different ways. And you've seen me do that struggle, but I'm not struggling because I know how the system works. I just sit there and do it. And even after the first week, I don't have any feeling that I've gotten any better at all. And then one day, out of nowhere, it's perfect, and I'll have it. And it's there. And Natasha will say, oh, your guitar playing sounds great.
I do say that.
Yes, you do say that.
Yeah, all of a sudden.
All of a sudden. It's just there. When you've listened to me go, bing, bing, brink, brink, bing, bump, and you think, what is he doing?
No, I'm thinking, when is he going to stop? and the next day, he's playing wonderful song from the beginning to the end. Beautifully, the guitar sounds terrific, like he's on a stage. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I can't understand. But I know one thing, you are very patient.
You have to know how the system works. And then you have to work the system. Number one, you must realize your life only gets better when you get better from the inside out. If you think at any point in time it's going to get better from the outside in, you're absolutely wrong. You're barking up the wrong tree. It ain't going to work. You might experience some short-term success, but even that is an illusion. Number two, doesn't matter where you've been. You can't get caught up in past failures and mistakes. You have to set goals that are true to you. And sometimes, maybe you failed at that goal because you weren't ready for it. It wasn't your time. Maybe you were afraid. You didn't approach it the right way. Whatever it is, you failed at it. So what? If it's still a goal, don't be intimidated by the fact that you failed at it once upon a time. Nothing gives a person more success than succeeding in an area where you failed at in the past. Nothing is more enjoyable. Where you can look at it and say, yeah, I did that. told you so. I knew I could do that. Anything worth doing well is worth doing poorly at first, and it's often worth doing poorly for a long time until you master it. Number four, you are only as free as your options. In other words, you are only as free as the number of well-developed alternatives you have available to you at any one point in time. I talked about that earlier. I said, nothing is more dangerous than a person with only one answer. I don't care if it's a really, really good answer. A-bomb, how many different ways do you think I have to stretch the hamstrings?
Oh, countless. Probably more than 10?
More than 10. More than 100.
Wow.
You know why? I'm going to tell you something. When I got my first hip replaced, I had a wonderful hamstring stretch. Only bad thing, it didn't work on the leg with the artificial hip in it. I needed another, even as good as it was, as great as it was, as great as that technique was for stretching hamstrings, it didn't work on my left leg. I need to come up with a different way of stretching a hamstring. As great as that one technique may be, it may not work on everyone or everything. You're only as free as the number of options you have. The number of well-developed alternatives. You can't just have one approach, one way. It's like we said a couple few weeks ago, we were talking about Norman Brown going on stage with only one guitar. As great as that guitar was, string did break. He had no other alternatives. He panicked. One of the greatest human goods I found out over this last, since 1988, 23 years, as I changed my thinking, became an habitual goal setter, understood the whole philosophy of getting better. One of the greatest human goods is personal freedom. And your freedom is largely determined by your choices. The more options, the more viable choices you have, the greater freedom and self-confidence you have. So, no matter what, you should be constantly, continually developing new options throughout your career. Throughout, as you grow. And people will look at my class and they'll think, gee whiz, you already are a master of what you do here. Why do you spend so much time becoming that? When you are an expert and you're a master, there are two keys, two signs that you truly are a master. And one is that you understand the importance of being better. Only the ones who have not mastered think that what they have is enough. True experts, true masters understand the importance of more options. I don't have one way of stretching a hamstring. I don't have 10 ways. I don't have 100 ways. I have more ways than that. And I constantly come up with new ways. Nick, Denver's been training with me for 30 years, and I taught him a different way to stretch the hamstring 2 weeks ago. That's just one thing and one muscle. One example that you're only as free as your options. Okay? Very, very important. Never hang all of your hopes on a single possibility. You must have options. You must have greater freedom. Number five. Within every problem, within every adversity that you face, within every difficulty you experience, Inside of it somewhere, deep, hidden perhaps, concealed under layers of adversity, will be a seed. S-E-E-D, a seed. And within that seed can now give birth to an equal or even greater advantage for you from within the problem. But what do most people try to do with problems? They try to avoid them. They try to negate them. They try to pretend they're not there. But you must look for the good in the problem. You must look into that good and look for the valuable lesson that every adversity or setback has for you. Look for something you can gain, and you will always find it. That problem was sometimes sent to you by the universe because it contains the valuable next step toward your goal. Am I making sense here?
Yes, you
are. Am I still making sense?
You're making perfect sense.
Yeah, it makes
yes,
sense.
Sir. Yes, sir. You, busy writing.
Okay. Okay. Number six. You know, as I've been teaching and applying even what I teach to others, because my eyes are open and my ears are open, even as I teach to others, and I want to continually learn as my teaching then opens me to the universe, and sometimes I find coming from my mouth things I've never said before, or I've never even knew that I had learned before. It's as if I've plugged into this universal knowledge and something is coming out of me that I need to hear. I think every human being is a learning organism. So number six is this. You can learn anything you need to learn to achieve any goal that you can set for yourself, as long as it's your goal. Not someone else's goal. Not a goal that someone else wants for you. No matter what it is, no matter how much learning you may need, you can learn anything you need to learn to achieve it, as long as that goal is yours. You will have the ability to learn it if it requires, no matter how extreme the learning process may appear to you. If that is truly your goal, you have got inside of you what everything it takes to learn everything you need to get it. You know why? Because you are a learning organism. You are a learning organism, and anything that anyone else has learned, within reason, you too can learn it as well. We are learning organisms. Number seven, finally. The only real limits on what you can do or what you can be are the limits you accept in your own mind. Now, there was a key word in that phrase. Now, sometimes, I'm sure all of you have been to college or even in high school, have you ever written an important essay, can realize that sometimes you can spend an hour on one sentence to make sure that sentence sounds correct. It says exactly what you want it to say. I do it on Facebook all the time because I'm limited to a certain amount of space. And so but I'm still trying to get a point across. And so I'll look at it and make sure, can I substitute this word for that one? Can I shorten that sentence into just simply three words? I want to make sure I'm using the right word. So here on this statement, there is a key word that truly defines and makes the entire sentence. And it says this: the only real limits on what you can do or be are the limits you accept in your own mind. Where was the key word there?
Except.
You are correct. The only real limits on what you can do or be are the limits you accept. In other words, the ones that you wrap your head around, the limitations that you own, that you accept ownership of. The ones that you have argued for, that you've argued for your own limitations so long that now they are truly yours. They are truly your limitations. So the only real limits on what you can do or what you can be are the limits you get for yourself. I remember that Shakespeare said, nothing is, but thinking makes it so. You know, I had a hard time with that quote for a long time. And because nothing is. Because, you know, one of the common statement today is, you know, what is, right? What is. What is. Well, nothing is. Your thinking is what makes it so. Henry Ford said, if you believe you can do something or you believe you can't, you're right. Not you're not probably right, but you are right. The only real limits on what you can do or be are the limits you accept in your own mind. I believe right now you have within yourself all the talents, all the abilities that you will ever want or ever need to achieve any goal, as long as it's yours, any dream, as long as it's yours, that you can set. The only question you ever have to ask is, how badly do I want it, and what am I willing to do to get it? If you want something badly enough, and you're willing to stick to it long enough, nothing can stop you. Okay, there you got it. Okay. Seven ways that you can approach this 21st century. Seven things you can do to get better. So we've taken the vagueness out of don't be sorry, be better. How you can get better. Let me see if I can give you one more fact about saxophonist, composer, arranger, Paul Desmond. I had something here. Oh boy. Okay, well, I guess I gave you all the real good points, okay? Anyway, our musical guest host today is Paul Desmond, and I sure hope we'll learn a couple of things from Paul Desmond. Stay away from Dewar's Scotch and Balmoral cigarettes. So, and that'll give us lots and lots of time to enjoy the fabulous music that Mr. Smooth left behind for us. Okay, gang? I'm Mac Newton. You guys have enjoyed not just me, but the talents of Magic Man, and of course the fabulous company of the fabulous Natasha and A-Bomb, as we went over this seven lessons for us dealing with the challenges of the 21st century, while at the same time enjoying the fabulous music of Mr. Paul Desmond. Check him out. So as we always do, I'm going to remind you guys to be true to yourselves, which means simply making sure your words and your behaviors match. The things you think about match the things you do. Be good to yourself. Be good to yourself. Be good to those around you, the ones you love and who love you. And I want to say thanks to Bob Adlott, Pat McMahon, John Cannon, John Booker, people who've made my life a lot better and have expected a lot from me. It's not a bad thing, gang, to take on more than you can chew. I've done that frequently in my life. In fact, I remember moving into the building that we're in right now. I can tell you the time, I think I was renting it at the time, and the rent on it was almost $4,000 a month. Good Lord have mercy. I hadn't seen $4,000 in my life, I think. I was coming from a place where the rent was $1,200 a month. Right down the street. About a fifth this size. But you know what? I bit off more than I could chew. Never missed a payment. Business grew like wildfire. I've done that same thing many times over in my life, whether it's with a building in my business or even my residence. You can do it too. Bite off more than you can chew and then set a goal that's just as bodacious. All right? You've been listening to the Power Hour. Peace. 3, 2, 1. The Mac Daddy is out.